That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the SummitCast. We're thrilled and excited that you made the decision to join us for today's broadcast. I'm Doug Dayton, and I'm here with America's Headhunter, the one and only Chuck Jeter. Chuck, how are you?
Doing good, Doug. How you doing?
Very good, sir. Very good, sir. We're going to talk about the ever-evolving market that we are seeing out there today because it's been changing quite a bit recently, Chuck. We've been doing this for over 20 years. Chuck, you've been doing this getting close to 30 years, haven't you?
Yeah, 27.
27 years. So we have seen fads come and we have seen fads go. And I know that the last year and a half, 2 years, it's been pretty wild with just how much things have been evolving and changing with the nationwide acceptance of remote radiology. But man, it seems like that the market's starting to calm down and it's starting to make some developments where it's looking a little bit like it used to again. What are you seeing out there, Chuck?
Yeah, you know, just the, the jobs are, you know, it's so we've said this in previous podcasts, but every year there's like 4-5% of physicians that relocate, that move. You know, remote radiology has come along and it's really stirred up the pot. You know, and radiologists have always been reading remote. It's just been very controlled.
Sure.
But now you can live anywhere and you can read anywhere. You know, the groups that have boots on the ground that are doing the interventional, that are partners, that are, you know, listen, you know, taking all the phone calls and, you know, doing all this stuff. I mean, they're not really going to be willing to give up, you know, the days and things like that. I mean, the remote market is really, you know, a 4 to midnight market. Some overnights, not that many. I mean, you've got all these big companies that have always covered the overnights. So the biggest shift that these groups need, and it's going to become a very competitive market.
That's exactly right.
And so and we're already starting to see that. We're starting to see sign-in bonuses, significant sign-in bonuses for this week on, week off. You know, that's 26 weeks a year, of course, but 26 weekends, but then you get, you know, 26 whole weeks off. And, you know, what would depend on what would make a job like that look really good to somebody is going to be the volumes. You know, if somebody has to read 150, 200 cases a night for a week,
sure,
you know, they're going to be like, oh, it's not really worth a week off because it's going to take me a whole week to regroup. And, you know, by the time I start feeling better, it's time to go to work again.
But, you know, the signing bonuses, I mean, it's been welcome as we're talking to different candidates. I mean, I know a breast imaging opportunity, they just decided, hey, we're going to do a $100,000 a year signing bonus for, and they're already paying well. I know for a remote gig, we've got another opportunity where they're offering a $50,000 signing bonus. So that is a nice trend to observe. And I know that the folks that are out there that are looking around, that's yet another opportunity.
Oh, with remote, that's a perfect example, Doug. With remote, all that has to happen is one group offer a $50,000 signing bonus, and that is going to become the norm. I mean, people are going to have, it's what it's going to take, because if they can do it, you know, and then, you know, who knows who's helping financially or whatever, but, you know, it's just going to be the, you know, there's only a few ways to compete, and that's schedule, you know, money, you know, what, you know, signing bonuses. I mean, you know, it's just the, and these are different things that are going to be changing up, and you've got groups doing this, and the groups that are ahead of the curve and the hospitals that are ahead of the curve are going to get the best radiologist, and you're going to see a lot. I mean, we see this all the time. I mean, and it's not a hassle. It's just you have to expect it now, because
sure,
anytime we're recruiting someone, man, their group comes back after them. Once they give them the notice, they come back, they snap back like a rubber band and say, you know, hey,
it's a give in.
You know, what do we need to do to keep you? And so, you know, people are competing to all different levels. I mean, just, you know, but the retention is going to be a big thing. And, you know, I mean, everybody can't ask for everything and
sure,
make it all about them, because then, you know, you can't, you pay somebody more than they're generating.
You know, and we were having a conversation earlier today, and you brought that specific, concept up, and it's true, because I mean, we're kind of coming off of a little a season where it was a lot like the Wild West, where people were trying to figure out how much they can get, and someone would, people were, sometimes not exactly truthful. Oh, I'm making $550 an hour, $600 an hour, and I like how. Why don't you talk to our listeners about that last guy that was telling you how much he makes an hour that was throwing an astronomical number out there.
There's so many moving parts. I mean, personally, I didn't believe it, but, my opinion about that doesn't make a difference. Sure. And so, but if that's the truth, then, that's not something probably I would be telling everybody, because there's a lot of people that would take that $650 an hour job for $550.
Sure.
And so, capitalism is at work here. It's going to, $650. I mean, you don't know all the details. $650 could have been for 1 week. Some radiologist would be willing to pay that out of their pocket to get a week's vacation. Sure. In this market.
But you bring up an excellent point. You've got these folks that are trying to set the exception as the norm.
Yeah.
And the market will always stabilize. It might not happen in a week or a month or sometimes even a year, but eventually the music's going to stop, and the folks that have a comfortable chair to sit in are the ones that are going to be happy. Whereas the people that are trying to squeeze an extra nickel out of the folks that they're working with are probably not going to be as excited. I think that it was you in the meeting earlier that said if someone legitimately has a reason to look for a job, we absolutely can help them. But the folks that are just kind of trying to see what they can get and see what's out there, they're kind of wasting everybody's time.
Well, I mean, it's human nature, dude. The people are just, they want to, they're hearing all these stories, and they're hearing all this, all this money being thrown around. But they're, when you really dig into the opportunities, I mean, there's just different volumes. There's different groups. I mean, if somebody is working somewhere and they are happy with their employer and they're happy with their situation and they're making, $550 plus, and then, getting 10 weeks vacation, having to work, at the very most a weekend a month, and then they're doing about 100 cases a day. I mean, that's a good job.
It is a good job.
That is a good job. Can you do better? Sure. But then there's a lot of unknowns, like, if you've been somewhere 10 years, 15 years, and then you look over here and, because the reason we're talking about this is because, so I will talk to anybody, and sure, I will consult anybody, and I will tell anybody, take as much time as anybody wants to talk about the market. But really what I do is I figure out what they have, and then I let them know, they have something good, or instead of, because, at the beginning of this market, we were taking everybody and running with them because everybody just wanted to, was excited. And so now I'm like, that's going to be tough to beat, to your job, and then because it does, not that any people that we talk to are a waste of time, but it, we can save the people that are curious about the market that, sure, don't really have a reason to look, like they're not unhappy, they're not having to move, they're, but there are some legitimate reasons, like, one guy we're talking to now, he has to commute over an hour to work.
Sure.
And he, he works every day, and, he works 1 weekend a month on site. And so now, so that a week on, week off makes sense to him, and he's going to make the same or a little better money. He is actually being paid pretty low for his current schedule, and he's not reading a whole lot of volume, but it's enough to, for this one group to, for the him to cover their evening shift. But anyway, so it betters his situation.
Sure.
And so, it's just that the same amount of people are moving and changing. There's a lot of these private groups. The hospitals are really, kicking in, because they want the interventional.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, they want the, you know, an interventional, you know, to an interventional trained person, you know, biopsies and drainages and all that stuff is not really considered interventional all the time, but that's the interventional that these hospitals want. They do want the higher end procedures and they need a interventional guy, but the day-to-day procedures and stuff like that, they're, that seems to be, you know, what they're really, you know, what they really want and things like that. And it just depends on the size of the hospital, but
that's really kind of been one of the reasons that we have seen a lot of these hybrid opportunities taking off. A lot of folks are getting their general covered with someone that's working remote, but if someone's willing to go out on site once in a while and do those basic interventional procedures, it's a win-win situation for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, a lot of these interviews can take place, you know, for the remote, actually all of them over the phone, which sure makes it a lot more, you know, time, you know, better for everybody's time. But, you know, and it's always good to kind of know what's out there and stuff. But there's not really, other than you can read from home and you know, but then there's actually even groups giving partnership, you know.
Yep.
Remote, so.
So, yeah, I know that we all have our various searches that we're working on. I've been really dealing with a lot of candidates here in the past couple of weeks, both on the interventional side and the breast imaging side. And the interventional guys, they're wired a little bit differently than the folks that are all wanting to do mostly the remote.
Not by choice. Just the call of duty.
The call of duty. The breast imagers, I know that most of the breast imagers that I've spoken with recently, they are all waiting for everybody to be up to speed to be able to do 100% remote breast imaging, but most of the organizations are just not there
well
yet.
The type of work it is and the procedures, you know, they can't do procedures remotely, obviously, so they have to, not yet anyway, who knows, man, maybe they'll someday have a computer and
sure have a little robot that they're controlling or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's this week's been kind of eye-opening. I mean, it's just, you know, I went over everybody that we've talked to and looked at all the names and looked at all the different jobs and all that. And so I think a lot of it is the employers coming back,
yeah,
to pull them back. But, you know, so everybody has extra time and they want to make extra money, but... And some of that will work, but the percentage of that that works for these groups, because when we talk to the groups, yeah, I mean, it's like, we'll take anybody, you know, whatever they can do to help. And I mean, that's not what they say exactly, but that's kind of what they say a lot of times, you know, and what they're talking about. And then you talk to the candidates and they're like, you know, hey, I can work a week or 2 weeks and extra. And I get it, man. Everybody wants to make extra money. And, you know, but we start trying to put those things together. You know, it's they don't seem to, you know, the groups start thinking about it. Well, we really need, you know, somebody to kind of do this and, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm not saying it's not out there. Now, locums is out there,
yeah,
but there's no, you know, and there's a lot of locums out there, you know, but, you know, because people are needing vacation and stuff. But, you know, these longer term jobs, but that doesn't, now a hybrid job is completely different, because if you're an interventional person, you go on site 7 days a month, and then you can go home and read for 2 5-day weeks, and you could be a partner in a group.
Yeah, that's been one of the more interesting developments here. I mean, for these folks that are in the hybrid opportunities, the fact that partnership is even on the table just goes to show the market's changing.
Yeah, well, our new division, we've got new people on the breast imaging, and mm-hmm. You know, there's just jobs everywhere. And, you know, what's going to shift these people around is, you know, and maybe, I don't know if the hybrid job is going to work with that situation too.
Sure.
You know, because we've, you know, a couple of the places that, you know, we found people that would go there and be there a week and you know, work remotely the rest of the time. But I'm not real sure yet exactly why that doesn't work as good as the interventional. And I think it's because of the, you know, you can't really, you know, if somebody gets a mammogram or whatever, I'm not sure how all the scheduling goes, but we'll figure it out. But, you know, if we have a lot of breast imaging jobs, and, you know, there's a lot of breast imagers that are working in places that maybe aren't paying them as good or don't have as good a schedule. Most breast imagers want a Monday through Friday, and that's kind of the norm for the market.
Or they're wanting to work 4 days a week. I mean, it's they're kind of trying to cut their own opportunities out there. It's an interesting, interesting dynamic.
They're one group that's going to be, that's, you know, probably able to do that.
Yep, it's a very interesting thing to behold in the market. So, Chuck, is there any opportunities that you'd like to highlight?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we're talking about breast imaging, and you know, we've got a smoking breast imaging opportunity here in Texas. And
is that one of the ones that's offering a signing bonus?
Signing bonus, big salary, you know, Monday through Friday, no call, no weekends. You know, 10 weeks vacation, full benefits. I mean, it's probably the best job we've seen out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just,
I know that we've also got breast imaging around Atlanta. We got breast imaging around Chicago. We've got
North Carolina.
We've got
California.
Quite a few. Oh, yeah. That's in a smoking area of California, too.
Mm-hmm. LA.
LA. So if you're an LA person and you're interested, if you'd like to explore what's out there, you can feel free to call us, like Chuck was saying earlier. I know that I kind of joke about people having an attitude, show me what's out there. If you just want to have a conversation about what the market looks like and find out, we might ask some probing questions to find out if there's something with your current situation that you're not wanting to duplicate. But we would love to talk to you and tell you a little bit more about what's out there, just so you can make an informed decision if you even want to put in the effort to see what's out there. But I've heard you, Chuck, dozens of times say, hey, you know what? You actually have a fantastic job. And, you know, there are other jobs out there, but compared to the one that you're at, I think that that if I were in your shoes, I would stay put. And that's, you know, that we are trying to find the right fit for the right opportunity.
Well, for $50,000 a year, it's not really, with taxes and everything, it's not really worth making the change and to the unknown.
Sure.
I mean, you know, because when somebody has a reason to leave, like they a real reason that they want to leave their group, and the group has an opening, you know, we can rematch that person with a group, you know, you know, that's who's going to stay there if we match them right, which we do. You know, they're going to stay. But if you get somebody that's just like, oh, you know, hey, you know, give me this and I'll come, you know, well, you know, there's a lot of unknowns, you know, for both sides. You know, it's like, oh, man, I want to go back to my old job. I don't like these people or whatever. You know, there's no real reason. So we like to dig down and get the reason because, you know, it's our job to better everybody's situation, not just our situation.
Sure.
And better the candidate's situation and the employer's situation, then we better our situation. But, you know, it's kind of like we're talking about, you know, your girl. Congratulations, man. 100 on a physics test. That's pretty unbelievable.
Dude. Yeah, that's, man, the good Lord was just looking out for us on that one. But I'm impressed because she put in the work and she studied and, you know, hard work pays off.
Well, you know, and and we were like, we were talking, she, you know, she put other people, what the scenario, what the deal was, is the school said that if Doug's daughter got 100 on the physics test, that the rest of the kids in the physics class did not have to take the test, or they passed the test. And they got 100 also. And, I mean, it was just a learning lesson for her, man. And she...
Well, that's an interesting gauntlet to throw down anyways. And you know, I was sitting there and I was thinking, you know, that's no pressure at all. But it was great because that gave her the opportunity to rise to the
occasion. Step to the plate or not.
Yeah.
And, you know?
You know, how often does that happen in our careers? You know, we step into an organization and we have the opportunity to blaze a trail. I know one of the candidates that we interviewed last week, he is excited to start with this organization, and he has made the comment several times, I can't wait to show them what I can do. And, you know, when you get people that are talking and thinking that way, it's always going to be, if everybody puts the other person first, everyone wins.
So another good thing that we offer that I don't know that all the companies do, but I'm sure they're there for this, but, you know, we make it a point to stay in contact with the candidate after they start, because when somebody starts somewhere, it's going to be new. They're not going to know exactly how to communicate, you know, how, you know, what the channels are. And so they're going to need somebody to say, hey, you know, this is not how I thought it was going to be or whatever, because those little things undone can make one side unhappy or the other.
True story.
And a lot of times, you know, we can get resolve and everybody be happy because, you know, because we're partners. We're not just recruiters.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, we're partners. We want to better everybody's situation, and we understand, you know, the high level and, you know, who we're dealing with, you know, physicians and, you know, the people at the hospital, and, you know, people are in most of the time, like 99% of the time, they're in medicine because they care about people.
Sure.
And so, you know.
Well, and we actually probably have a little bit different perception of our role as recruiters too, because we genuinely are not only viewing this from, hey, we're trying to do the job that we're being paid to do, but we genuinely want to see hospitals and organizations provide quality health care for the folks that that are in their region. So it's great when we have the opportunity to be a part of making a relationship formulate that will benefit everybody in the community. I think that that for me, one of the things that I love about what you just said is as we build these relationships with the candidates, it's great because a lot of times when we follow up with them 30, 60, 90 days afterwards, if we hear something that could be potentially be a red flag, then we can reach out and say, hey, y'all might want to just have a conversation, and you know, we can be as involved or not involved as people would like for us to be in the process. But most of our business is repeat business, because once folks work with us once, they're going to want to work with us 1,000 times. I mean, you had someone last week that called you that that we worked with almost 20 years ago. And they said, man, I haven't had a recruiter talk to us or call us in a couple of years. And they were trying to get the word out there because they've tried all of the methods and the avenues. They've signed up for the different websites and the different databases, and they didn't produce the results that they thought. So they said, man, you know what? It's time to reach out to a professional. So they called Summit.
Well, we don't speak about that enough because, to be honest, I mean, we did things. We had to make some changes, you know, 5-6 years ago because, I mean, we were just felt like we were drowning because, you know, we're so used to cold calling, which we do that. But that being the only mechanism to get candidates, because you're dealing with different age groups and different people that are used to different stuff.
Sure.
And, I mean, there's, you know, literally some people that if you text that, it's like, you know, an offense, you know, they're like, hey, you know, that's, you don't, you know, but.
And on the other side of that coin though, there are some people that will never answer your call, but they will respond to a text.
Exactly. So we've really gotten involved in the social media and just for, you know, getting everything out there. And I get it because, you know, if you're a practice and you start trying to do all that, I mean, you go to it and you're like, oh man, forget that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to post it on the ACR and start praying, you know,
you know, and I think I'll search practice then, match then, as well.
Then you get 1,000 recruiters calling you 'cause they know you're looking, but Anyway, so it's fun. We like it. And yeah. We've got the resources and we've got the horsepower. And
And you briefly mentioned cold calling, and that's one of the things that I think that the this next generation of recruiters, we're kind of old school. We did not throw the baby out with the bathwater. We still practice that, and it still every single time produces candidates that other people don't know about. And so, you know, and it's good. Like I know that I can think of two searches off the top of my head that we did everything on social media. We did the email blast. We did the podcast. We did all of these things, but it took us purchasing a list of people and specifically skip tracing people, finding out their information and getting a hold of them by cold calling them.
And the people that were found on those two searches were not really looking.
They weren't.
They weren't looking like they, but you know, in their mind, they had to be thinking, hey, yeah, I'm going to be doing this because, you know, we've learned a little bit more about their situations and, you know, they had to be thinking about it.
You know, and I think that a lot of times whenever we start asking questions, when someone's trying to find out, a lot of times the probing questions are not us trying to make you feel discontent about your job. A lot of times it's just us simply trying to find out if there's an underlying reason that you're interested in hearing about what's out there. And sometimes it might just be curiosity, and that is okay. But, you know, if you have a splinter, and that splinter is embedded deep inside of you, and you just ignore it and ignore it and ignore it, all of a sudden the skin around it's going to get inflamed. It's going to start oozing pus. But nothing will change until you pull that splinter out. So maybe you have been trying all of the usual methods for recruiting, and you're thinking, man, I don't know that I want to do a dedicated search. Sometimes you just got to squeeze it, and you've got to find the motivation. Because at the end of the day, we will work it whether it's dedicated or whether it's contingency. But if you want someone to call on your behalf and actually focus on your account, there is no substitute for a dedicated search.
Well, and dedicated too. I mean, it is what it is. It's dedicated. And so, you know, sometimes we get people in a week, you know, to be honest, it may take us 2 months, but dedicated is dedicated. I mean, we're committed to, you know, find it. But if we're working it and it's taken us longer than a month, then nobody else is going to show up with a doctor,
right?
Because they're not doing what we're doing. That's for sure. You know, and you know, it just depends. You know, right now everybody, you know, probably needs a dedicated search.
Ain't that the truth?
You know,
but it's especially a good time to do that whenever the market is in the midst of a change. Like as it's settling down from the remote gigs and people are starting to,
here's the deal, dude. When people do contingency, usually they've entered into an agreement I think that there's a misconception that, hey, now we're contracted with this company, they're going to be working for us. No. Usually what it is, that company had a candidate for them at that time, and so they needed a contingency to get the CV over to them. But after that, for most part, you know, most companies probably forget about that job existing because they're off to other stuff, because they're smaller companies and they're just doing like one search. You know, the dedicated, you know, I mean, it's a simple rule. You know, you give us something, you know, we owe you something.
It is mutual commitment. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you know, for somebody to be able to call and say, hey, you know, where's my doctors or whatever. I mean, there has to be a reason that, you know, that we feel obligated to do that.
Sure. So what are your thoughts? Do you have any comments on this? Feel free to reach out to us. You can email us at Donna@hiresps.com. That's HIRESPS.com. You can find all of our current jobs on our website, HIRESPS.com. Feel free to give us a shout if you are a candidate and you just want to shoot the breeze and find out a little bit more about what's out there, or even find out what the state of the market is. You can reach us at the office at 817 817- 483-4300. Chuck's extension is 1001 and mine is 1002. If you have a need in your hospital, your group, or your organization, you can reach out to whoever answers the phone and just let them know that you are interested in working with a recruiter, and they will send you to somebody on the marketing team. Once again, that number is 817-483-4300. And if you have any questions regarding an offer that you already have on the table, either for a candidate or for an opportunity, then we would welcome a conversation with you about that as well. I'm Doug, and this is Chuck. Awesome. Have a fantastic day. See you later.